Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, good afternoon and good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Buddhist Biohacker. And my name is Lisa Gunshore, and I am your host, as always, for the Buddhist Biohacker channel. And I am so excited today. Every day is a good day when Julie Hoyle is here. And we have started these monthly features on Buddhist Biohacker, and they've really been wonderful. And it's with all of our guests that we love so much. And Julie's already had 13, I think you said, episodes on here. And her monthly feature is called Living in Alignment. And this is how I met Julie Hoyle. She does something called a true alignment. And it really gave me incredible insight into what I needed to do to come into alignment with who I am to do the work that I'm doing today. So welcome back, Julie. It's so honoring to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled as always. You know how it goes with me. I absolutely love every second of being on here because I love this platform for conscious content. And I really love that you've given yourself so willingly to the challenge of, you know, bringing all these amazing people together so that we can all share our wisdom. And also to create content for people to connect in with and to listen to and for them to bring their wisdom along as well, because that's the way we learn from one another and support one another. Aww. So it's a real privilege, and I'm really very honored to be here today, and I'm really honored to have people either watching during the live or listening, you know, later on. So I don't know how you feel about me just diving in, but I'd love to just dive in and share something that happened last night, and then we can go from there.
I love it. And for everybody who's joining in the live, I see you guys joining in. Please, we love your comments and questions. Part of doing this live is so that you can interact. So comments, shares, questions for Julie, throw them in the chat box. And if you're listening later on audio, you can absolutely go to miwi.com, Buddhist Biohacker, for our live discussion forum that's in there. And yeah, I'm going to let you dive in. I've got the chat up here. So if you guys are chatting, I'll be on here to make sure that we get this information to Julie. And yeah, Julie, take it away.
Okay. So, you know, I think those people that know me and have read anything that I've written and certainly have read the book know that I'm a lucid dreamer and have been a lucid dreamer since I came out of the womb, actually. And then after I received Shaktipat, which is the awakening of the spiritual energy, I began to have even more profound lucid dreams. So those have been a constant for the last, you know, 30, 40 years or something. And ahead of, you know, thinking about what I was going to present today, and I know we talked a little bit about that yesterday, but last night I had an incredible lucid dream that spoke specifically to what the Siddhas, the saints who direct my path, want me to speak about. So in the dream, I felt like I'd been traveling and, you know, trying my very best to get to this particular place for years and years and years and years. And eventually I found myself in this completely white space. You know, the sky was white, the ground was white. I looked down and I was wearing a white robe. I'd got bare feet. and there was very heavy snow on the ground. And I was walking and walking and walking, and I had a thought, I'm cold. And I knew there was a storm coming. I knew there was a big storm coming, actually. So I had this thought, I need to create a safe space. So the only thing I could think to do, because there were no buildings, there's nothing around anywhere. So I started scooping the snow and creating a kind of an igloo, you know, because I know so much about igloos, living in Bahamas. Igloo builder. So I started building this, what I thought, you know, was kind of an igloo structure that I would, the idea was to crawl into it just to be safe from this oncoming storm. So I was about halfway, you know, into building this, and I looked across at this vast white expanse, and there was one of the saints, one of the siddhas that I've worked with for the last, you know, 30 years, was standing on this hill. She was looking over at me. She was wearing white, like a white silk gown. Again, nothing on her feet. You know, she wasn't exactly protected against the storm that was coming. And I was in such shock and, you know, in reverence as well, that she would be there. So I looked over and I waved to her and she waved back. And then I called her to me so that she could also be protected against the storm. So she came over and she was helping me kind of build this structure. And we got inside just before, and we could hear that the wind was howling and it was beginning to move, and all this, you know, heavy snow, and this like blizzard was coming in. So we got into this very small space, safe space, and she said to me, tell your people to stay in the pure place before thought. That is key. Tell your people to stay in the pure place before thought. That is key. So, you know, I woke up and I wrote that message down, and it moved me so, so much, because the whole theme or the kind of orientation of what I wanted to focus on today was staying in that place prior to storms coming and movement coming and doubt coming and anxiety coming and, you know, everything that throws us off center and puts us into this place that is not stable. And the thing that she was pointing to as well is, you know, staying in that place, that is key. In the yogic tradition, we've spoken about this before, when great master yogis speak about that, they're speaking about God or Source. And what they're saying, and what she was saying specifically, is to tell everybody to stay in that pure place that is prior to thought. And as we know, you know, thought is always fluctuating and always moving. So the grace and the immensity of her presence is behind everything that is being offered and shared this afternoon. So it carries the, you know, awakening power and the energy of the great beings and the great siddhas. So I feel really very honored to be able to convey her words, you know, in a way that really is really potent and alive. So to kind of help begin with, you know, a playful way at looking at, you know, why is it and when are we pulled off center and taken away from our true nature? I wanted to offer, you know, a fun little, what I would call a clear seeing activity. So you can have, if you want, you can have a pen and paper or, you know, something to jot notes down or not, depending on how you feel. Or just have it like, or just have a mental checklist is often also really fun. But I promise you, this is so simple. So easy. So the first question I want to ask everybody, number one, is, do you believe every thought that passes through your mind. I mean, I'm guessing not. Oh, you know, I don't think anybody would be here.
No.
So number one, do you believe every thought that passes through your mind? Number two, have you seen that your thoughts often have an emotional component? Number three, and I think I know what the answer to this one is. Are you able to see, or have you seen, when your mind has become agitated? Number four, have you been able to see, or can you see, when your mind is calm? Number five, have you ever woken up in the morning and noticed that your mind is so still, it takes several seconds or minutes for thoughts to arise? Six, have you ever sat in meditation, or you've been out in nature looking at the beauty of the sky or the hills or something, and watched as your mind has gone from, you know, a lot of movement into settling and becoming completely still? Now, I could continue with probably 30 or 40 similar type questions. But the whole point of asking these questions is to ask another much more important question. And that question is, do you recognize the place from which you're able to see and articulate and describe the movement of the mind, or the calmness of the mind, or the agitation of the mind? In other words, you know, where is this place of seeing? Would you agree that there is a place that, for want of a better term, witnesses or sees this movement, or this stillness, or this emotional attachment, or the agitation? Is there a place that sees this? And do you recognize it? And again, I'm really guessing that every single person that, you know, is interested in coming and listening to anything that you present on this platform has had, you know, more than one of these moments of pure recognition, of pure seeing. Otherwise, you know, there wouldn't be any interest. And the thing that is really important to see is that this place from which the movement of the mind is seen is the pure self, or the pure I, or absolute awareness itself, or God, or source, or whatever name you want to give to that which does not come and go. It's completely stable. It is here always. It is your true nature. It is your very self, or your higher self, or whatever name you want to give to that. And with this recognition is the recognition that yogis call enlightenment, self-realization, self-awareness, self-actualization, or whatever term you want to give to true seeing. But here's the thing that happens. What happens is, even though we have these moments of recognition and we're in that place of true seeing, and pure knowing, the pure I, absolute source itself, whatever you want to give it name to, that, that which is your primary, your true nature. We're habituated in many ways to keep following thought and to keep believing thought and to keep acting on thought. And, you know, I don't need to prove this to you because you already know this is true, right? You know, and everybody's fallen into that trap. And the reason we fall into that trap is because we have not done the work on the shadow. And I'll be speaking more about this, you know, maybe in another session, but, and I've touched on it before, but it's really important to do the work on the shadow, because unless the work on the shadow is done, even if we have the most amazing transformational experiences, the darkness that is not recognized within us will keep pulling us back. It will keep saying, you cannot be one with God or one with Source because you know you have anger issues that you haven't dealt with. Or you know you can get really crabby. You know, whatever the story is around what has been, you know, what we tried to separate away from. So this is what this Siddha, this great being, was speaking to when she was speaking to staying in the pure place before thought. She's speaking to Source itself, absolute awareness itself. And, you know, with that, the importance then, you know, when you become aware of that, the importance then of doing the work on the shadow, however that, you know, looks for you, to you. You know, and obviously we come to that place of recognition of needing to do shadow work at certain times in our journey or, you know, spiritual awakening. And it certainly isn't easy, but it's very, very important, because until we do it, we cannot stay in the pure place 24/7. So I would love to, if there's any kind of questions or kind of comments or feedback just about this beginning part, I'd love to hear that now. And then I'll go on to what I want to speak about next.
There are. So I hope I say it's either Marlena or Marlena. So I'm not sure which one it is, but I think it's Marlena. She says, yes, it's so easy to get caught up in a thought loop when you're not aware. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because I was on Megan Riley's channel this morning and we were talking about the spinning that we do. And one of the things that we talked about was what's our red flags for spinning. And mine is my cards. And this is something that I noticed about 5 years ago now, is that every time I got caught in that thought loop, I was throwing my cards. I wanted to look, I wanted the answer, I wanted to see, instead of really coming out of all of that. And so I've been right there where you get stuck in the worry and the fear and the anxiety of something, whatever that is. And then you want to know the answer, you want to, you know, find out, or you get stuck in that space instead of like coming into a clear space where you can see,
yes,
what's next.
You know, and sometimes too, that is about not wanting to see what is next as well, or not wanting to see what we have to take care of, because it's work, right? You know, there might be a pattern that we're being called to recognize and own. But, you know, it's much easier to say, oh, let me keep throwing cards, or let me call up 10 friends and get their opinion, or, you know, whatever the story is around that.
Megan and I were talking about, you know, asking 15 different online psychics at 2 o'clock in the morning what they thought about something, because we've all been there. And, you know, yeah, so there's those trigger points for sure. So it's a good segue to all of this today. So.
Well, you know, to be honest, I've talked about this before. I feel really, really blessed that I actually have never at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning been looking for psychics, or, you know, honestly, that really absolutely ended when I received Shaktipat from Nityananda. And actually, even before then, I just never had a sort of an interest somehow. Or, I mean, I used to play with a Ouija board and you know, the I Ching and things like that. But it was really kind of I trusted what was being given somehow, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, I feel very blessed. But, you know, the other thing that is worth kind of reviewing, and I know I talked about this before, but one of the practices that has been really very helpful for me for years is just the practice of, where am I in my life right now? You know, when you get really stuck or you feel like nothing's happening and you know, you can't kind of figure things out. I just write that title in my journal, where am I in my life right now? And then whatever image comes up, I draw it. You know, and it can be like, if you don't feel like you can draw real well, it doesn't matter. It can be stick men or whatever, just some crappy drawing. But you just draw it out. And then based on what you're seeing visually, you can do stream of consciousness writing around what that is speaking to. And the reason this is so potent and powerful is that it bypasses the critical tendency to try and analyze or, you know, put into words something that maybe, you know, you might want to kind of bypass that as well by reframing it or rewording it in a way that's kind of pretty. But the first image that comes up is always the most kind of concise and direct. Mm. And, you know, so then you do your stream of consciousness writing and then you can give it a title as if it was a movie or a book. And it is just so on point because it's coming directly from the subconscious. Mm. And it's not, you haven't given, you know, any time to sort of meditate on it or try and sort of figure it out. It just is really direct.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is I've looked through journals from years ago and when I look and see the image and then what was written, it's just like, oh my God, this is so incredible. You know, I just hadn't realized the depth of what I was tapping into. And again, this particular practice was given to me by the siddhas that I work with and the saints that I've worked with.
Yeah.
It's incredibly potent and incredibly powerful. So any more questions before I move on?
Yeah, we've got a couple more here and then so we have, when something arises from the silence and one follows it, but then the opposite starts cropping up in the outer world, that then creates doubt. What is that and why is that? Is it to see if one will stay true to what was received in silence?
Yeah. I mean, usually that is the case, especially if you haven't done the full depth of the shadow work, because we create our own obstacles, because our own self-doubt, our own unspoken self-doubt. And the thing is that obstacles are actually really great. Because what you can do, which is what I've always done, is I'll just say, oh, you know, what are you here to show me? What am I supposed to see? You know, do I need any help to be able to kind of move around this particular obstacle? Because there's always a subtle energetic component to every obstacle that manifests. And you can see the link when you start doing the work on the shadow. And I know you've had experience with this big time. but it's, you know, it's incredibly powerful. And essentially, once you actually have dealt with the shadow and met the shadow and had a conversation with it, and you've invited it in, it's not like the shadow then disappears. But the power it has over you is really diminished and you can just kind of laugh at it and think, oh, you know, here you go again. Here's another form, little obstacle or something that's trying to get my attention. But it doesn't stop you in its tracks, you know, in your tracks, you know what I mean? And it's a bit like, you know, when you have an inspiration that lands in you to do something, let's say to create a blog or to write a book or, you know, create a platform. You know, and you get started with it and then maybe somebody will come in and say something that's just so incredibly upsetting, or you'll get a negative review, or you might have a so-called friend that warns you about the dangers of, you know, whatever it is you're doing. You know, if you haven't dealt with that outer voice, you know, inside yourself, because it's really a reflection of what's inside you, then that outer voice can, you know, really stop you and thwart the creative expansion and creative expression of what you're being called to do. And I know we've all had these kinds of experiences. And you can sit in that place of feeling kind of blocked or thwarted or closed down, you know, for a long time, unless you actually engage with the inner work and really start looking at, okay, you know, what is this person revealing or showing me? What do I need to work on? Is there any truth in that statement? You know, however you want to sort of phrase it, is it's very important. And it's part of the process too, right? Because, you know, life is about meeting challenges and being strong enough to stand in the force of whatever you're challenged with, rather than, you know, feeling defeated and giving up. Yeah, just yesterday, actually, I was writing one of the chapters I'm working on for the book on the shadow, Meeting the Shadow. And I was speaking specifically to one's creative expression. And I started to think about a pastor here, or preacher, whose name was Dr. Miles Monroe. He's passed away now. He was, I think he was killed maybe 5 years or so ago in an airplane crash. Very unfortunate. But, you know, I loved what he used to say, because he always said, don't die with your gifts still in you. And, you know, it's so true of so many people, because what happens is they have this impulse to do something, they'll start, and, you know, the first little challenge just stops them. Or they think of 10 reasons why they can't do something, rather than thinking of 11 reasons why they can do something. So, you know, all of these questions and these pointers and, you know, sharing this way is really, really important with respect to supporting, you know, your own vision and having the courage to carry it forward. So I know that was kind of a long answer to that question, but, you know, that's the truth of it, is that you have to deal with your shadow in order to be able to meet challenges and, you know, obstacles as they appear in your life. And if you don't, you won't ever have the courage to do anything. And we probably know plenty of those people, right?
Yes, yes. Well, and my new favorite thing is I'm really into this idea of the invitation of awakening. And so when I hear you speak, like I hear that, like, you know, when that kind of stuff comes up, I've been asking myself, what is this inviting me to do? Mm-hmm. What's the invitation here? Like, what is this asking me? And that's really shifted the perspective of what is coming up, is, and it's having me see it in a completely different way. We have a comment here. I love giving a chapter or period of my life a title when I'm journaling.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I love this too. It's really, really good. So thank you guys for your comments. Keep them coming. So
I love it too. It's great. Hey,
it is. It's so great.
All right. So I'm going to speak a little bit now. I've never done this before, but I was told it's fine. So, you know, and it's great for context as well, because I think, again, through storytelling, telling my own stories really helps people see, you know, their own journey and their own process. So I was trying to remember when it was, but I think it was around 1997 or 1998. When Tony and I were living in Nassau, New Providence then, and we were at a point where we kind of could feel that the Shakti, or the energy of what we were doing here, was coming to an end. And so I just thought, you know, I think what is being pointed to is that we need to start applying for work elsewhere. So I started sending CVs out, you know, all over the globe. And after I think about 6 months, something like that, there was no response. There was zip. I mean, nothing. Talk about feeling defeated. But, you know, there was just nothing coming in. And at the same time, I knew, I had this intuitive feeling we were being blocked. But I didn't know why. I had no clue why. So I remember one evening, I took myself off to the bedroom and I was, you know, I did some meditation and I was chanting and praying and, you know, invoking all the saints and the siddhas and doing whatever I could do to try and get clear because I felt like I needed to get clear. So then I felt this overwhelming desire and love and need and longing, you know, to merge with God. I mean, that was the only way I could put it. I didn't know how to put it into words other than I wanted to have this merging. I wanted to know what was truth, not some secondhand version that of somebody, you know, but what absolutely was true, and to be able to live in that space 24/7 rather than feeling high one minute and low the next, you know, on that roller coaster. So what happened was I went to my altar space and I took this photograph of Bhagavan Nityananda, who was the great being who came to me in a dream to give me initiation in 1989. And I do have to preface that prior to him giving me that initiation, I didn't know what Shaktipat was. I didn't know what the Kundalini was. I'd never heard of Bhagavan Nityananda. He had taken Mahasamadhi. He'd passed. He'd left his body, I think, when I was 10 or something like that. So there was no connection. You know, this amazing gift of grace just landed in my life. And that's how I found out about Bhagavan Nityananda and realized that he was this great being. So I took the photo and I'm holding it and praying to Bhagavan Nityananda and saying, "You're so good. Oh, you know, I need to know. Tell me what to do. I need to go." And I just said, "I just love just seeing your form, you know." And, it, you know, you can see he was wearing a loincloth. He just lived like this great renunciant wearing this loincloth. So I'm praying and my mind went still. And then I heard him say very powerfully, "Yes, and my shadow has power too." And you can see his shadow here, right? So out of the image, this tremendous force literally exploded. It hit me in the chest to the point where, you know, it knocked me back. I dropped the photo on the bed. It knocked me back. I gasped, you know, out loud. And then I started sobbing and sobbing. I just could not stop crying. I couldn't stop crying. And, you know, it took me a while to sort of calm down. And then literally what happened is the next day I received this message, this invitation to, you know, leave everything and start thinking about going to India and living at an ashram in India and studying meditation. You know, and the short version of what happened then is that, you know, so many amazing things happened. And then by January of 2000, Tony and I were in India, and that was when all the work on the shadow exploded. So what Nityananda was speaking to was, yes, it's very true. When we have an image of a great being, whether that is Lord Jesus, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Nityananda, you know, Father Bede Griffith, who I love, who was a Catholic mystic and a monk, you know, whoever that the form of God that you resonate with, whoever you have on your altar space or in your private space, it's really important to understand that they are the form or the clothing for the limitless self, absolute awareness itself, and that the place in you that recognizes that in that being is the one and the same. It is God or source itself. It recognizes itself in a seeming other. And that is the absolute truth. That is the absolute truth. It has always been so. It will always be so. And there is nothing that you can do to change that. But what happens is, instead of placing our identification with our true nature, which is the formless self, we follow thought, we identify with thought. We believe that, you know, a thought that, for example, says, oh, you know, you're not going to be successful with this new venture. We believe it and we give power to it by believing in it. So the key always is to find practices or to find ways that help you come out of the mind and come into the recognition of your true nature or your true self, which is prior to thought, which is, as this great being said in the dream, it is the pure place prior to thought, prior to, you know, any movement. And it is a stable place. It doesn't come and go. It is always, always stable. It's always here. It's always actually speaking to us. But, you know, when we're in our heads and in our minds and kind of, you know, tap dancing all over the place or running with thought here and running with thought there, we just miss it entirely. And that is really what's so amazing, that, you know, the self is always here. And we know this. We know we cannot be our thoughts because there's something that witnesses the thought. So to be able to witness the thought, there has to be an awareness or witness or seeing prior to thought, prior to the movement of thought. And that is who you are. That is who you have always been. So, you know, the idea of going on like some sort of spiritual search or journey to, you know, to chase after enlightenment is really a joke, actually. But, you know, we do it because because we believe in it. So I'd love to hear if anybody has any comments or questions or feedback about, you know, anything I've just shared.
Yeah, I'd love it too. And so you guys fill those out. I'm sure everybody was listening intently like I was. So we're on a little bit of a delay. So if you guys want to fill those out, I'll be happy to share.
Good.
I love your story, and I love the idea of the power in his shadow. I mean, I felt that when you held the picture up, it was like, I almost cried, like the energy of that. And I'm curious, those of you guys fill out on the chat how you were feeling when you saw Nityananda's picture. But for me, it was like, whoa. But that energy of the what's there in the shadow.
Yes.
And, you know, we've had multiple conversations about the shadow on this show. And I'm very excited about your handbook. So while people are filling this out, do you want to share just a little like tidbit about what's going to be in your book about the shadow?
Yeah, sure. So the title is Meeting the Shadow, Meeting Yourself. And that's a self with a capital S. Because, you know, as I said, we can do all the practices we want. You know, we can think of ourselves as spiritual athletes and doing hatha yoga or meditation, chanting, whatever it is. But we're really just performing spiritual gymnastics until we really own the darkness within our own being. And until we do that, that will just keep us feeling separate, not feeling good enough, thinking you have to do another, you know, meditation retreat to become purified enough, you know, because the shadow's always telling you, oh, you know, what about this? What about that? And, you know, you get crabby or, you know, whatever the story is, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, But the beauty is that once you start meeting the shadow, then everything changes. And one of the chapters that I deal with and speak to is, like I said earlier, the creative energy. And I give examples from my own life about how incredibly powerful an awakening I had around doing shadow work, because literally my creative expression just exploded. I mean, it just literally exploded. And I started writing prolifically, doing all kinds of articles for Mind Body Spirit magazines and, you know, writing the book. And one of the things I share in one of the chapters is how my friend Diane Goldner was coming. She was visiting Grand Bahama at the time that this was all happening. And she's a healer and she's an author herself. And in her, as she calls it, in her former life, she used to work for the New York Times. So she was, she was in that kind of work as a hard-nosed kind of journalist kind of environment, you know what I mean? And so I just happened to have this message from one of the editors who wrote to say, hey, I love your article. Can we use it in the next edition? That would be so great. And can you send me some images? And, you know, so I was just reading this off to Diane and I just happened to say, gosh, you know, I've written for about 10 or 15 magazines in the last 6 months. Who knew? So she started laughing her head off because she knew, because she was used to be a journalist. And she said, it's not supposed to be this easy, you know. And I knew, I understood what she was pointing to. What she was pointing to is that once we actually meet, greet, and welcome the shadow, our creative energy is, available to us. We can start utilizing it. And then somehow the universe, you know, all the challenges, I'm not saying we won't have challenges, but the bigger challenges just fall away. And then opportunities start to flood into our lives that we could never have imagined. So, and, you know, you're a prime example of that. You know, look at what you've created in what? Not even 6 months.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And we've got some great comments. And it's when I look at the list of magazines I've written for, magazines I've been in, content that's been created, books that I've written, interviews and all these different things, when you start to add it up, it's like, holy cow, I've really done a lot of stuff. And it really does come from doing this work and the creative flow. Behind me is literally my creative flow. Like, this is like all these things mm-hmm. that have been created. And it's so amazing. Raquel said she felt it too. She said tears came to her eyes. The more layers I have uncovered with shadow work, the more I feel immersed in self and God, and also more messages have come through for myself.
Yes.
And we have another one saying, thank you for sharing. Totally felt that. Do you have tips to get to that pure place prior to thought whilst busy with a demanding toddler? I find it hard to get my balance.
Well, look, I can really speak to that because, I think you said that Marlena asked a question. So Marlena Leonard is a wonderful, I connected you today, actually. I sent you an email about Marlena, but Marlena is one of the students that I work with when I was living on Grand Bahama. And I forget when she graduated now, it must be 7 or 8 years ago now. But, you know, the thing is that I've been a teacher forever. And I always say, if I can stay in that place of silent witnessing in the craziness of a school environment, if you've been to school, you know what a school environment's like. it's like chickens with their heads cut off running around all day. And quite honestly, it's even more intense now than it was back then because, you know, everything's online now, so parents can send email. It's just craziness, absolute craziness. and the other thing I would say, what really helped me, and I'm going to speak specifically now, because I think this is very helpful. What really helped me was being given a mantra by Bhagavan Nityananda to stay focused. And if I felt like my mind was going crazy or I was getting stressed, I would put my thumb and finger in Chin Mudra, and that is always very helpful. Or if you're in a meeting, or you know, in you're in waiting in line, or you're in a place where there's like this kind of crazy energy, you can do that, right? And that brings you back to center. The mantra Nityananda gave me was Om Namah Shivaya, and Om is the primordial sound. Namah means I bow to, and Shivaya is supreme consciousness. So you're actually saying, I bow to supreme consciousness, or I bow to the light within me. Om Namah Shivaya. And you can find recordings of Om Namah Shivaya online, actually. Krishna Das does an amazingly powerful rendition of Om Namah Shivaya. It's really incredible. You know, and there are other versions there. So repeating the mantra is very helpful. You know, just having these practices is really great. And the other thing I do want to share is one of the siddhas, one of the great beings who was based in India, was asked a question by this woman, came up to him and she said, it's all very good. You know, you speak about meditation and, you know, quiet time and contemplation and self-inquiry, but you know, I have three children and I have to go home and I have to cook and clean and, you know, make sure the house is nice and, you know, all those things. So he said to her, you said you cook and clean. She said, yes. He said, so do you chop vegetables? She said, yes. He said, do you clean the floor? She said, yes. So he said, while you're performing those activities, repeat the mantra, remember God, come back to self. And that is enough. Those are your practices. And I just love that because it's making, you know, and I did that at school all day long. I'd be repeating the mantra, repeating the mantra, repeating the mantra. And, you know, connecting in and finding that quiet space inside myself so that I could deal with all the craziness that was happening. And honestly, I always say, if I can do it, you can do it too. Because you really, those people, those Bahamians, those people that live in the Bahamas and know especially what the school system, the government school system is like. When I say that I many years ago, when I first got Shaktipat, I worked in a government school, which the name is R.M. Bailey Government School. The conditions were very, very challenging. I used to work under a metal roof, and the heat and humidity can be over 100 degrees here. So I'd be pouring with sweat all day long. We didn't have many materials to work with. You know, there were challenges with gangs from other schools. I mean, it was really, really difficult. So if I can do that and I can be in that space and remain centered in self, even with students asking questions, you know, craziness going on, then it's possible for anybody. And I really believe that, and I know that's true.
Yeah, well, and I wanted to jump in because I had my 4-step kids, and I'll tell you what, like that chanting the mantra when you're cleaning and cooking and doing those things is so important. And I think the Dalai Lama said in one of his teachings that I was at, when you're trying to self-realize, sweep the floor. And so now that's cleaning my own home is actually a real part of my cleaning out my own energy field. Yeah. Getting grounded. And actually, if I start to feel really scattered with my busy schedule, that's exactly what I do. I stop everything and I clean and I do laundry and I make dinner for the family. And something that I've realized through this quarantine time is performing the actions of yoga or meditation or playing mantras in front of the kids is so important. They have gotten so much, I think, from that, whether they realize it or not. They either want to participate. You know, I play a lot of mantras in the car when we were going to and from school prior to quarantine, and they were singing the words without realizing it, you know, and they're singing, you know, Om Namah Shivaya in the car. And so bringing those things in and not thinking it has to be separate, because I think for me, it was like, okay, this is my spiritual time. This is family time. And something about this global event has made it's eliminated the separation.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, there never was separation, but we've kind of been conditioned to thinking there was.
Yeah. And
this is one of the gifts of what this pandemic has given us. It's given us time to be able to recognize what's already here and to connect in with that and to feel into that as well. Because oftentimes you can numb out, you know, when you're on sort of autopilot. You know, but the important thing is finding those touchstones that bring you back to center. Mm. Whether it's through mantra, through, you know, doing chin mudra, through cleaning your house, you know, whatever it is, we already know organically what those things are that help bring us back, bring us home, you know, and give us some relief. Rather than reaching for, you know, addictive behaviors through television or drinking or whatever it is, you know, it might be.
Yeah.
It's always available.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I just want to throw out and then I want you to continue. But one thing I really love is feeling the bottom of your feet. I learned that years ago in clairvoyant school, of all places, but it really stuck with me. So when I start to feel like that scattered, anxious energy, I just feel the bottoms of my feet and notice where they are. And something about that, like, just draws you directly into center, and suddenly nothing else can affect you anymore. And that's just one other thing I really love. That's an easy trick of just feel the bottoms of your feet and notice where they are. It kind of grounds you and pulls you in.
Pulls you in immediately. Well, the other thing I'll do is this, you know, and bring my palms together against my heart center. Mm. But you know, look, here's the thing. The truth is we're never out of self. Our true nature is the supreme self. It's just that the mind goes off, you know, and we go with the mind and we think or believe that, you know, we're separate or we're not in self or we need to do something to get that. But we're really always here. We're always here because we are awareness itself. So it's just a case of recognizing that. And then, you know, as I said, doing the work on the shadow, because until you do that, you'll keep trying to escape. Because part of that as well, and it was true in my case, you know, I kept doing the spiritual practices to kind of numb out and try and separate away from the pain and the suffering and the anger and all the other stuff that was stuffed down. And I've been trying to avoid all those years. You know, and that story is not unique to me. It's everybody's story, actually, that the shadow has got to be dealt with and acknowledged. Otherwise, you know, we'll keep running our whole lives. We'll just keep running and running and running from it or medicating it, you know.
Yeah, we've got some more comments and questions here. So we have, first off, somebody said, thank you, Julie, I'm writing this down. and then Jen Marie says, I absolutely agree. Being that I am spending more time with the kids during quarantine as I am working from home, I get the teenagers involved in the mantra and the cleaning. So it's so good. Like this
so good.
Time, you know, we're trying to decide as a household, because there's four parents for the four kids, and trying to decide as a group if we're even going to have them go back. And, you know, there's been so much benefit to having them home and, you know, being able to manage things differently. So it's just very interesting. You know, Julie, everything you say things and it just triggers, you know, thoughts and memories and all of these things. And you're reminding me of when I moved to Maui and was sitting on the beach and realized, and I'll never forget this because it was that moment where you're like, I thought I was leaving everything behind.
Yes.
But actually, I brought everything with me, all my shit.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, there's a great yogic story that says the same thing, actually, where there's a man and he's running, and he's running as fast as he can. And a wise man is sitting under a tree. And he watches this guy running from way back, you know, and he runs past him and he keeps going. He's running. It's very hot, you know, rocky. And the wise man calls to the man running, "Hey, brother, where are you going and why are you running?" So the man shouts back, "You know, I'm going to run. I'm running to a new town further ahead. I'm trying to escape from all those awful people in the town I've left behind." So the man says, "Brother, you need to get wise, because wherever you go, you'll take yourself," with a small s. You'll take, you know, so all those people who are irritating the heck out of you that you're running away from, you're going to find someplace else. And that's the truth of it. You know, and we see evidence of that with respect, especially to, you know, people who choose to go into relationships and they end up with the same kind of partner that they couldn't wait to get away from in the first one.
Yeah.
Or in a job, you know, you're in a job, it's like, holy moly, I'm back here again. This is exactly what I left 3 jobs ago.
Oh, I hear you. You've been there for me in 15 years. You've seen it. Like, I lived that. I, you know, job to job to job, moving home to home, relationship to relationship. Like, you do all of that, and there's that moment where you're like, huh, this is not serving any purpose anymore. And I got to a place where I just wanted to be still, you know.
Yes.
I was really tired of it. And it's interesting because I felt that, like, urge of like, ooh, I feel, and it's the first time I felt that way in a while. And I really had to sit with, like, what does that mean? And I think it's a different thing for me now. I mean, I think I'm actually sensing some changes to come, but I had to sit with that and ask, you know, that invitation, like, you know, am I trying to get out of something, or am I, you know, is there something I need to look at, or is this something I'm feeling? And, you know, it's just an interesting, we all do it, you know, we do
sure.
that in our own way.
Sure. But look, you know, the thing is that you can't ever really sit for very long if you haven't done any work on the shadow. It's just impossible, because, you know, you get close to it and it's like, oh, let me look the other way. You know, you always have to keep kind of trying to stay one step ahead of what you don't want to see and own and recognize. You know, and this is a great gift of shadow work, that it, as soon as you start greeting it, meeting it, and having conversation with it, you realize it's actually your own energy that you've tried to disconnect from. And when you start having a conversation, which, you know, with what you thought was unpalatable, then you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about what you've been trying to hide from, and you bring that vitality back into your energy field. And it's a game changer. And then in that meeting place, you come to the recognition you are the Supreme Self. That is your true nature. And it's incredible.
It is. And, you know, I want to take a few minutes because I hope you have the time and space, but, you know, you're our monthly featured guest this month. And I wanted to just take some time for everybody who's listening to talk about what that is and who you are to me.
Okay.
If you're okay with that.
I'm fine.
So, you know, in creating this platform, and it's actually interesting because my niece pointed out something to me this week because she said that it was actually frustrating her that there was that everyone's saying how fast this platform grew. And she said, I've seen my aunt work for 15 to 20 years on what this platform has become. And I really loved that because I thought, wow, I had not even thought about that because this has just blossomed, but there's all this, you know, work behind it. And a lot of that work was with you, Julie. Mm-hmm. And for everyone who's listening and watching, you know, part of why Julie's here is because you've been such an integral part of my life. I mean, truly, I mean, it has been, I think it's been 17 years, 16 or 17 years since mm-hmm. I first connected with you. And I was thinking to myself, like, what was it? You know, what was that thing about my connection with you? And I think it really comes down to you saw me. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone who connects with you knows that you see them for who yeah. they are. And it's such a gift to all of us. So maybe emotional. Because it's such a gift. It really is. And we all have our gifts and talents, you know, all of us do. But something about the way that you work with us, something about the energy of the siddhas and the saints and these teachers, and something about who you are, has enabled us to do our work. And I say us because there's so many of us in the community that are doing our work because we've been encouraged by you to do our work. Mm-hmm. And I really, it's been a huge part of my journey with you, and you coming to this platform has been such an integral piece of this to grow this and to connect us in with the highest possible potential for our soul. Mm-hmm. No, it's not just a reading or a connection, and not that those things aren't valuable, but it's this new, different space that you take us to. Mm-hmm. And you have so many things that you offer, and I think we have so many new people who are connecting in, and all of you guys can keep your comments. I see all your comments coming in. Keep them coming. Keep your questions coming. I'll get to them. But you have this beautiful book you wrote. Mm-hmm. You have The Shadow. Is it a workbook or a book? What would you call it?
Well, I've called it a handbook, but you know, it's you know, detailing essentially what the shadow is, and also sharing my own accounts, because again, through story, it really helps people, and then giving self-inquiry practices that are practical, accessible, and you can actually work with them, and they are proven because I've used them myself. And they were what was given to me by the great beings that I work with. And, you know, honestly, I can absolutely stand behind my words when I say whatever they give to us will have a big life-changing effect. And they give it in the simplest way possible. It's the most accessible way possible. It doesn't mean you've got to sit for 3 hours and meditate or something, you know. It's just so easy, it's so direct, and it's so accessible for everybody, you know, whatever background or faith you're coming from. You know, you will meet the self-inquiry practices in the most direct way, and that's what I really love about the great beings I work with, because everyone is included. It doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, you know, whatever background, how long you've been on your spiritual path or lack thereof, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It's just meeting the truth of who you are and being seen for that and recognized for that, and essentially being handed a key that you can take and, you know, unlock yourself, essentially.
Yeah. And I cannot stress enough. I mean, I think you're at the forefront of shadow work. I don't really see, there's a lot of discussion about it, but the work that you do, what's going to be in this handbook. And I can tell you guys, I've been doing this for at least 15, 16 years with Julie. Like, I have dug into the shadow work, like hardcore, and it's so worth it. And it's so hard and it's so challenging, but I could never be where I am today if I hadn't have looked at all that stuff. And now it's different. Like I would say a decade ago, looking at it would take me a month or 2 months or 3 months to get through some pattern. And now it's like 30 seconds. It's like, oh, that's what that's saying. Okay. And you like let it go. It's like this easefulness. And so part of this monthly feature is we've blasted everyone with content. This is like our 50 something episode, I think, or 48 or something like that today, 10 weeks. And we also have 111 hours from the summit. So we have all this content, but now it's time for integration. And the only way to integrate anything is to like soak it in. And so this month is about soaking in Julie. And let me tell you, her book is profound. You'll have awakenings just from that. But you're honoring your soul contract, your art course, and I know you have other ones, but like I've done the honoring your soul contract 4 or 5 times now, and I've done it with my family and you know, encouraged other people to do it. That's incredible. Sessions with you are incredible. The information that you receive, the healing that you receive, the profound shifts that you will experience when you connect with Julie. I mean, all of these things are accessible and available. So, you know, if you guys want to book club it this month, like it's about Julie's book, which is called An Awakened Life, and really, you know, reading that, connecting that, because what's going to happen is on August 1st, Julie's going to be live with us for 2 hours to answer your questions. So the things that come up when you do her course or you color, she has these beautiful drawings on Etsy that you can color that are great, by the way, for those of you who are writing about your family and your kids, those are great things to do with the kids because they're really fun and exciting to color. Whether you're reading her book, whether you have a session with her, this is going to be your opportunity to connect in with Julie and ask her questions and share your own experiences, because we're all having an awakening. Even just seeing that picture of Nityananda is like the Shakti.
I know. So, you know, the whole point of being directed to create all these different formats and forms is that they're all a vehicle for the awakening power. I mean, I was told that in the very beginning, you know, do this, write the book, you know, create this intuitive painting course, because they're all vehicles for the awakening power. And, you know, obviously you can have successive awakenings. It isn't like a one-time or first-time deal. I mean, I've had, you know, an infinite number of awakenings. And actually we all have, you know, we've all had epiphanies and insights and awakenings and so on and so forth. But, you know, the gift of what the Siddhas offer is the, you know, awakening of the Kundalini Shaktipat, which is the awakening of the spiritual energy, which essentially over time brings you to the end of seeking and the realization of the self, which again, I can stand and testify in my own words that that is the truth, because the end of seeking has ended here. It's completely finished because of the grace of Nityananda and the great beings that have supported my journey, and then, you know, coming to the end of it. So it's an absolute joy to be able to share all the things that I share, and to, you know, again, through the testimony of the feedback that I receive, it's saying that it's true. These offerings are a vehicle for the awakening power. And, you know, what a gift that is. I mean, I know I came into this lifetime looking for someone that could reflect that back to me. That was what my whole journey was. I knew it from when I was really young. I was always looking, into the face of everyone I met to see if he or she could point me to the truth and speak to the truth. Even though I didn't, you know, as a kid, I couldn't have put that into words, but that was really what the journey, whole journey and the seeking was about. And I think it's true for everyone who is coming to this platform.
Well, the work that you do, Julie, like you did your work, which is why you are who you are, and encourage me to do my work, which is why I am who I am. It's like part of what creates all of this. And so don't be afraid, everybody. Like, just dive in to it all. And I just can't thank you enough, Julie. I mean, truly, like, and we have so many, we have so many great comments. I have so much love and gratitude for Julie. I have so much love for Julie and the work she encourages, from intimate sessions to honoring your soul contract painting to reading her book. All of it is so lovely. So much love and gratitude. Going back and forth to the folks who have introduced you to them. And I mean, we just have so much love for you. And there's just so much more to come too, which is so amazing. And, you know, I'm happy that you're a very first, you know, monthly featured guest. And I encourage those of you who are new to the community to read her book, connect in with her. All of the monthly feature information is on Buddhist Biohacker's website. So it's at lisamgunshore.com, and then click on Buddhist Biohacker and you'll see a thing that says monthly feature. You just click the button. It has all of Julie's information, her book, all of her links, so that you can get everything you want. And if you have the opportunity to have a session with her, I want to make sure we never really plug anything. And I feel like it's time to plug you, Julie. Like, you're really incredible. You're a gift. And I feel like so much of the work I do, it's beautiful work too. And I think when I'm doing it, it's like, gosh, like, I'm so glad I did what the work I needed to do on myself to be able to do these things, because it's full and open and creative
and expansive and abundant and amazing.
Yes.
I mean, there is one thing that I will plug a little bit, because I think it's really important. I do offer an online course called Living in Alignment that I've been running now, I think, for 5 or 6 years or more. And it's just a monthly, you know, email, like a lesson that you'll get, a PDF lesson that everybody gets. But essentially, the reason I was told to set that up is that those people that subscribe to it, and some people have been taking it for 4 or 5 years now, actually, I think I'm on year 5 or 6. Anyway, it's essentially giving me permission to be able to work with them in the lucid dream state and in the subtle realms and, you know, connect to self. And essentially what I'm doing is, in the lesson content, I'm essentially just pointing back to self. I'm giving, you know, examples and stories and, you know, descriptors and self-inquiry practices to keep bringing people back to self. And it's been incredibly popular and very powerful. And I'm just kind of throwing that out there because some people, you know, didn't realize that I've been offering that for quite a few years now. And, you know, I've had a lot of fun traveling across the subtle planes and working with people and, you know, specifically and giving them messages and doing healing with them and so on, because they've given permission. And, you know, as you know, giving permission is very important. I can't do any work unless somebody says, you know, I agree to work with you. So yay, this has been great fun.
It always is. Do you have any parting words of wisdom for us today? And thank you guys, by the way, for everybody who is writing all of these great comments, and, you know, keep them coming. You can continue to comment on the video when it's done. Please share this platform and the videos with everybody. I would really appreciate it. I guess I need to get myself back up on the screen while I'm talking, but yeah, it would be great if you share. There's so many incredible healers, light workers, teachers, artists, creative beings that are, you know, part of Buddhist Biohacker and part of this community. So please feel free to share and share, you know, Julie's information and the monthly feature too, because we still have a couple weeks to really connect in with everything she has to offer and then spend some quality time asking her questions. So any parting words, any words of wisdom for us?
Yeah, you know what I would really love to speak to is, you know, to be very grateful and to thank you for all your kind words and all the love. Because I really appreciate that very, very much. This is why I do the work. And, it's really my way of saying thank you to the great beings who have guided and directed my path. I do that for them. And the thing is that the love that people feel for what is happening here, whatever this is, is really love for the self, the one self. It's really about bowing down and honoring the love that you are, that is being expressed in your form and expressed through everything you do, and really honoring and clearly seeing the one self in all, or the one spirit, or whatever word you want to give to that, which is limitless. So I really very gratefully accept everybody's love. I love you all. I won't say also, it is the same self, the same love. And I'm very, very grateful for it and for the way it flows and expresses itself in and through everyone that is here watching the live, and for those people who watch the recordings later. Because this is what it's all about. It's all about honoring the one self. And as one of the Siddhas says, his kind of phrase is, kneel to yourself, bow to yourself. God exists in you as you. Kneel to yourself, bow to yourself. God exists in you as you. Which says it all.
I love you so much, Julie. And thank you to everybody who's joined us today. Absolutely. We are back tomorrow morning live at 11 with Megan Riley talking about Empath Redefined, which is so great. She and I are having our own little reunion party after many years apart in our own journeys. And then Thursday, Julie's back actually with Christian Strang, who's another dear, sweet soul sister of mine. And the three of us are going to be talking about coming out of your story. So it's actually a good continuation, really, of this conversation. And that'll be Thursday at 4:30. And I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, and then Cheryl Garcia is on at 1 o'clock on Thursday also for Herbal Thursdays. And we're going to be talking about holistic living, and she has more gardening tips for you guys. So that's pretty fun. And that'll be fun too. So we still have three more shows this week that you can tune into. And then next week is a jam-packed week. So lots and lots of stuff. I think we have 8 lives next week, you guys. So we just keep cranking, and I love every minute of it. And we have some really great guests coming on this next month, which we'll be announcing on social media. So thank you so much for watching, Julie. Thank you so much, as always. It's just always so wonderful. And one thing I want to throw out there to everyone is please share on our MeWe forum, Buddhist Biohacker. You can share on Instagram, you can share on this video, but Julie held up a pretty potent picture of Nityananda, and she also spoke about a pretty potent dream. So I know that Julie and I would love to hear your experiences, your dreams, your awakenings, anything that comes from this particular episode. Like, please share, right? Mm-hmm. We want to hear all that.
Yes. Yes. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Lisa.
Yes, we'll see you soon. Bye, everyone.